Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us here in downtown Greenville, 72 degrees. The airport, Greenville Spartanburg, 73 degrees. Anderson, 71 degrees. And Clemson, 70 degrees. Partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 30%. So be prepared for that as you make your way out to work this morning, this glorious fifth day of July, 2005. Did you know the Seventh Amendment, that's the Article 7 of the Constitution, the Seventh Amendment Bill of Rights, says this: in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, that was, of course, real money, lawful money, gold, still set at $20 even after we have this inflated swine's meal of Federal Reserve notes, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. It's interesting that the common law is codified right inside our Constitution. What is the common law? The common law is the idea that judges, through juries, can set precedent, that can actually create the law and modify it slowly but surely over time. It's a system that was set up in the under the British rule. Anywhere where the British flag flew basically has the common law system in the world. Everyone else goes by a Napoleonic legislature-run civil code or Napoleonic code. But the common law is something we value highly here in America. It's a great thing in the common law. It allows power to juries, these 12 people who sit on the jury, to actually make the law. Many Christians and Americans are unaware of the fact how important jury duty actually is. I think it's a hassle, it is a hassle. I won't deny that fact. However, it is the opportunity we have to actually sit down on the jury and overturn the law if necessary, modify the law, not allow the swine of the modern state to get away with murder, literally, or to get away with the confiscation of property. So it's a good thing. We're glad that we have juries, and it's nice to see the common law itself preserved in the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution. Well, we have a lot on tap today here at the Tyranny Response Network. I want to remind you all that the phone numbers, in case you want to call today, is 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. The backup line is also working, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Send your questions by email as well, if you wish, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Glorious new day, always, as always, when we're serving the Lord in this world. Although it seems like Satan may be having the upper hand for a while, we know in the end who wins. God's plan for victory is absolutely assured. We have no doubt that we will be the victors. We will judge both men and angels if we are Christians at some point in time. We don't know when it is that God will usher in his kingdom. We have no idea, but we do know that we need to be faithful and we need to be active in our world to transform our culture and not simply let it rot and go down literally into hell as fast as possible. That's where it seems to be heading. It looks like on every side we're losing the battle culturally. It looks like we're losing the battle in terms of the numbers of people being converted spiritually, but we need to be faithful and remain content. Even as many complained in the Old Testament period of the lack of faith in their country, so too we have the same kind of complaint. We can become miserable and depressed, in a sense, about the state of affairs. But you know, as long as we understand that God reigns, we can have confidence and hope and assurance that our work is not in vain. Even if he chooses to not give us pure, again, liberty or to give us great blessing in our lifetimes, we can still be confident that he will at some point in the future. God is sovereign. He does what he wishes. In fact, that's what Psalm 117 says. Our Lord is in the heaven and he does what he pleases. Hard thing for people to take, but, it's what the Bible says. If we believe the Bible, we believe God does what he pleases. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including yours truly, Dr. Coben, Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. Full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you're interested in placing an ad in the Times Examiner, call David today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464, and specifically ask for David, and he'll help you get a relatively inexpensive ad in that will help promote your business here in the upstate of South Carolina. Also want to remind folks to go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, and there you will find all the announcements we make here on the Tyranny Response Network. They're codified for you. In case you happen to be driving in your car, don't have a pencil or pen to write down an address or a phone number or something like that, you can go to the website and you'll find the information there, tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. This week, what's on tap? Well, nothing, as a matter of fact. 4th of July week, this was a completely blank week if you, unless you happen to been able to make it to the Carolina Patriots meeting in Charlotte last night. There is nothing going on up here in the south, in the upcountry. However, next week will be the last meeting of the Institute on the Constitution. That'll occur on the 11th. You'll also have the next night, the Carolina Patriots in Asheville, the Libertarian Party business meeting on the 14th, and the Carolina Patriots in Fountain Inn. All that information is there on the calendar under the events tab at tyrannyresponse.com, and we encourage you to visit there. Make it a frequent stop for your daily activities or at least for your weekly planning as you set out to try to make a difference in your world. Also there you'll find some links to some audio files that our great production staff has put together, the Liberty Minutes programs that help teach people about public policy. I was so delighted to hear yesterday that in Memphis, the political cesspool played the long one. That's right, yes, the Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. This audio file is about 45 minutes long, and they played it for almost their entire show as a tribute to American independence yesterday in Memphis and wherever they're syndicated across the country at the political cesspool. Was glad that they did. It's been a wonderful opportunity to be associated with those folks, James and Austin, and we wish them all the best in their endeavors to serve the Lord in what they do in Memphis at the political cesspool. Well, at any rate, what have we got on tap in the news today? You know, we've had so many interesting things happen in the last few days. We should never turn aside from the fact that we see Fox News reporting about the great deaths of different soldiers in Afghanistan every day. You know, SEALs found dead, like that's today's headline in Afghanistan, or something in Iraq where someone has been killed. This is what goes on every day, it seems. It's mayhem over there in George Bush's famous war for his own oil buddies or whatever he's doing over there, his own power. Well, we'll skip across a couple of those headlines quickly when we come back after this break, but we also want to go through some more deep thinking stuff, and we'll do that once again right when we come back. The phone number, just in case you're itching to call, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177, and we'll be right back. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
With Dr. John Coben, glad you joined us this morning. You know, here's a couple of interesting articles on this case of the Kello case versus the City of New London by Henry Lamb. The Supreme Court's decision on Kello versus City of New London erases the principle of private property from 200 years of American history. There can be no question that the founders intended private property be secure from the arbitrary reach of government. The Constitution sets forth the legitimate purposes for which the government may own property, Article 1, Section 8, and it stipulates the process by which private property must be acquired. Moreover, the Fifth Amendment requires a just compensation be paid when private property is taken for public use. The key term here is public use. Writing for the majority, Justice Stevens said, "This court long ago rejected any literal requirement that condemned property must be put into use for the public." Further, he said, "This New London development ban, our plan, unquestionably serves a public purpose. The takings challenged here satisfy the Fifth Amendment." There is a difference between public use and public purpose. Had the founders intended to grant government the power to take private property for a public purpose, they would have said so, but they didn't. They said public use. The court, not the founders, not Congress, not any elected representatives of the people, changed the meaning of the Constitution. Government can now take private property for any purpose it describes as a public purpose. The uproar this decision has caused will fade, and the court's decision will become the law of the land unless people who are governed insist that their representatives limit the power of government, including the power of the Supreme Court. Skipping down through the article, he says, "This legislation will be a line in the sand in every legislature, and every candidate will have to decide on which side to stand. Senator John Cornyn has introduced Senate Bill 1313, a bill that serves this purpose very well. The state of Utah has already outlawed the use of eminent domain by economic development districts. 10 other states have similar legislation on the books, and with the exception of the blighted areas. In Florida, blighted areas can include very expensive homes, if that's what the government wants it to be. Nothing in the Constitution gives the Senate authority to participate in the nomination of judges. The Senate's power is limited to advice and consent, and yet look what they do. The next justices appointed to the Supreme Court will either continue this slide into unlimited government power, or they will begin to limit the power of government. The people can help determine which it will be by electing representatives of the House and the Senate who demand limited government power and respect the sanctity of private property." Just a couple comments on this article. First of all, when have we ever had in history a political process victory where we actually limit the size of the state? Folks, this is a pipe dream. I'm telling you, if you look at history, you're going to see that government gets bigger, not smaller. It doesn't matter who wins it gets bigger, not smaller. Now, I agree if we had a libertarian elected as president or a Constitution Party member elected as president, we would have dramatic changes in the state. But it's precisely because we would have dramatic changes in the state that they will not be elected. This is just the part and parcel of the American mindset and the way things are rolling along here. It's going to take dramatic education and change in the philosophy of life on Americans in order for this to actually occur that he's hoping. It's not going to happen by electing more Republicans to the House, as if this guy's sort of implying that. I don't know if he's a Republican or not. But it's certainly not going to work with the same old peaceful means that people have been proclaiming for 25 years or 30 years that I've been involved at all with politics. It just goes downhill time and time again. The other thing is we are still trying to be active. It doesn't mean we need to give up hope or try. It just means we don't need to vote for Democrats or Republicans that just sell us out all the time. Instead, we have been involved with a petition drive lately to proclaim our fundamental rights. We would encourage all of you to go, even take a minute now. It takes less than 30 seconds to sign this thing. The South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It's a petition that allows or proclaims the inalienable nature of the rights to life, liberty, and property, and that public policy cannot curtail these things, whether it be through the judiciary or otherwise. And that South Carolinians have very specifically set forth what just compensation might mean, that it's talking about comparables and not talking about government whims or assessed values. It's talking about relocation expenses being included in just compensation. It talks about private property being upheld. Now, this isn't perfect. It's not a perfect petition. It's an expedient petition that can actually get us a step into the right direction to show where rights come from, that is, from God, and that they are indeed inalienable. They cannot be sitting there at the pleasure of the state. The state cannot take them away. The state cannot abridge them because the state is the servant of the people that is supposed to protect these inalienable rights. Therefore, we hope that you will go and sign the petition this morning. PetitionOnline.com. That's PetitionOnline.com/ SCROG, SCROG 1. That's the number one, and it's all caps. PetitionOnline.com/ SCROG, SCROG in all caps, number one. When you go there, you'll see a place you can sign. Easily done. We encourage you to do so. It'll be a little piece of something you can do for 30 seconds in your morning that will help perhaps the cause of liberty here in South Carolina. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I see it's already time for us to take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Here's a quotation for you that the illustrious research staff of the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview has found. It says this from Craig Nelson, whoever that is. I have no idea who some of these people are they send up to me. But Craig Nelson said this. The amount of corporate money flowing into Washington has exploded over the past decade, and the Wall Street Journal has led the cheers as an army of influence peddlers converted those billions into legislation favorable to the corporations. For years, the Journal has been the leading advocate for global corp future and understand capitalism administered by multinational corporations in a borderless world in which markets and labor have replaced nations and humans. Now, why did they send me that quotation? I don't know. This guy's some kind of babbler for the left. I'm not sure where he stands and what some of these things mean. Multinational corporations in a borderless world. Look, folks, economics does not respect political boundaries. It's government which forcibly curtails economics from occurring in one country to another. Free trade, a true free trade, would allow people to buy, America to buy anything he wants from anywhere in the world without being subjected to any kind of tyranny. And for companies to go and work anywhere they want in the world. That is true free trade. We're not talking about the so-called free trade that's in these ridiculous, covert operations called CAFTA and NAFTA and whatever else the globalists have in store for us. But the idea of having a borderless world is a normal economic event. People, even if they don't speak the same language, will end up trading with one another. Just go to the Middle East, go to Istanbul. That's one recent place I've been to. And they speak all sorts of different languages there. They just want to sell their wares. And if you go through the little bazaar there, as it's called, to buy your goods, that's life, folks. Now, this other business about multinational corporations, well, what in the world is that? I'm not sure what that means in the way it's used here. If a company wants to do business in Britain and Japan and here, well, I don't have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that? So what? If they wanted, they can do business anywhere they want. I'm not in favor of slavery, folks. I don't know. Maybe Craig Nelson is, whoever that is. He spells his name Nelsen. And he says, markets and labor have replaced nations and humans. What in the world does that mean? Okay, market sounds neat. Markets and labor have replaced nations and humans. Well, what in the world? Markets always exist. It doesn't matter what political construction is thrust upon them. And labor, if that means simply the people, the output that people have from being productive, has replaced nations and humans? I don't think so. I mean, nations are pretty much here. You've got whether they're global nations or a nation is just a political boundary with some ruler at the head of it. That's all a nation is. That's, and at least in the modern sense. In the biblical sense, a nation is an ethnic group. And I don't think he's talking about the biblical sense here. And how it's replaced humans is beyond me. So anyway, the more I read this, the more this looks like the research staff, the illustrious research staff, was just trying to throw me a curveball this morning. I don't know who this guy Nelson is, and I'm not sure what he means. And we're going about to press the delete key, so we may not hear from him for a little while, unless you want to talk about him. The phone number, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Backup line, 864-201-6955. It's 864-201-6955. What else have we got going on in the news today? Well, I don't know. Let me go check here. What is it about O'Connor that was interesting? Well, she's old and gray and weary, and the conservatives are all thinking they're going to replace her with somebody that's really going to help things. No, it's not going to happen. Remember who appointed Sandra Day O'Connor? No less than Ronald Reagan himself. And she turned out to be a sellout on gay rights issues, on marriage issues, a sellout on abortion, and a sellout to the New World Order and allowing international law and globalists to terrorize the United States and endanger American sovereignty through the Constitution. She is a traitor, and we're glad to see her going. May she rest in peace. At least during retirement years, and after that, I'm sure she will rest. I don't know if it'll be in peace or not, but hope she has a good few years of retirement that are left. Who's he going to replace him with? Well, it looks like Alberto Gonzalez. Now, this is the guy that says that, look, in Texas, if you're 14 years old and you get pregnant, you don't need to advise your parents about getting an abortion. That would be, a violation of your 14th Amendment rights. That's the kind of guy that we're going to have on the Supreme Court next, it looks like. Bush will get a little extra brownie point because he puts a Hispanic or a Mexican-American up there. And, well, we'll just have another neocon on the court. What do you expect? I mean, can fresh water come out of a salty spring? Has George W. Bush really been the champion of liberty, of free markets, of the Christian church, or any other good thing? I don't think so. So what are you going to expect from his Supreme Court nominees? You're not going to expect anything different, are you? Unless it's just by accident somebody deceived him, somebody played a game all these years and led him to believe he was part of the Skull and Bones, New World Order, whatever George Bush is into, and as all of a sudden he turns tails later on after he gets elected or nominated and put on the court. I guess it sort of happened with Clarence Thomas. Got to like Clarence Thomas in general. But we can't expect that's going to be the same with the next one. It just so happens that George Bush is in power and most likely get another suitor type, like his father appointed. Or even better than that, maybe get a Breyer. That's kind of like the Clinton type. Anyway, okay. So much for Sandra Day O'Connor, at least for the moment, thinking about her resignation. Here's the research staff sending me a new word. Lex Talionis. L-E-X space T-A-L-I-O-N-I-S. Lex Talionis. That's one you should use in your regular vocabulary. Start using it. Like the other one we learned the other day, Clark or whatever it was, Quark. I've even forgotten these words. See, that? What good is it to talk about these words? We don't even remember. If I don't even remember them. The law of retaliation, that the punishment should correspond to the crime, as an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, also called talion. That's what the Lex Talionis is. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's an interesting word to know for the day. All right. Well, the libertarians were up in arms about the Nazi Baptists rising in South Carolina. And South Carolina's largest religious denomination has volunteered to help fight illegal gambling machines. The South Carolina Baptist Convention will use its 725,000 members and 2,000 churches starting Friday. The group plans to post pictures on its website of machines it considers illegal. State agents have seized 3,400 illegal gambling machines since video poker was outlawed in the year 2000. Well, guess what? Later on, this was rescinded over the weekend. The Baptist group decided to call off the anti-gambling effort. In Columbia, the South Carolina's largest religious denomination has canceled plans to help police find illegal gambling machines. Well, this is interesting. So they aren't going to get. It'd almost be fun to watch the Southern Baptists or the South Carolina Baptist Association actually get involved in public policy instead of sitting on the sidelines and just going along their happy and dumb way, as the other talk show hosts and others in the area promote their festival of ignorance. So it is with the Southern Baptists. They bask in the ignorance of the limelight of vanity here in the United States. And don't do much of anything. They sit there and wait for the rapture to come, or I don't know what they wait for, but at any rate, they rarely get involved in real life and actually trying to transform their society and their world. Sad to say. There are a few good exceptions out there. I know it on Paul Dean's show, Calling for Truth, there's a Southern Baptist pastor that's trying to make a difference. He airs on another station here in Greenville. Not doing public policy stuff particularly, but at least he's trying. And although we don't always agree with him here at the Tyranny Response Network, I don't think he's quite where we are in some things. Nevertheless, he's a whole lot, I mean, he's a breath of fresh air, frankly, compared to the Tony Beam's Festival of Ignorance show on the same same station, or others that you would hear out there from Southern Baptist. What's the deal with this, anyway? It's trying to help the state stop illegal gambling machines. Why don't they try to stop legal gambling machines if they're going to be consistent? What's the story with that? And furthermore, as you know, if you listen to anything of that I've written before, I'd rather like states running lotteries at the moment. You say, well, why? That's shocking, Dr. Coben. How can you say that? Well, as I've written in an article not too long ago, I'd prefer to have the wealth of the sinners stored up for the righteous, to let these guys go out and pay a stupid tax, that is a tax that has a gamble in this lottery, which has a very poor statistical payout, have people run there voluntarily to pay this tax than to be extorted by the state. In fact, if they could replace all taxes tomorrow with lotteries, I'd be more than happy to see it happen. Now, if you want to hear more about my perspective about the lottery tax and so forth, Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and go to the audio tab. And under the audio tab, you're going to find there the lottery audios that I've done for Liberty Minutes. Listen to those things, especially the lottery as the best tax, and you'll see exactly why I'm right about this. If you want to talk about this or other things on the show today, give me a call, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. And our backup line you'll be listening, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace.
Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning in Greenville, Spartanburg, and in the upstate. You're pretty much in the low to mid 70s, and it's going to be a hot and humid day again today, folks. At the airport right now, it's 74 degrees, Anderson at 72 degrees. Partly cloudy today, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, chance of rain at 30%. Let's talk a little bit about, well, I want to give one announcement before. I seem to tend to go along here without remembering our wonderful sponsors and so forth and people that we want to remember and help. One thing is the Nationalist Times. Have you heard about the Nationalist Times? The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has been reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. So be sure to take advantage of that. And while we're doing that, I see we have a caller coming in, and we want to go ahead right to the phone lines. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking to?
Good morning, Dr. Nelson here.
Well, I would say speak of the devil, but that wouldn't really be appropriate on the Christian Worldview program now, would it? Well, perhaps it would, but not when we're thinking of you, Nelson.
Messages are going to be muttering under your breath during the next break as you hang up from hearing what I've got to say, Doc.
Okay.
Yes, I'm surprised to hear you take up the pro-lottery position. At the time, there's a big ruckus over in this state why our Christian brethren unearthed a number of disquieting facts about the idea of lottery taking the place of taxes for anything. Number one, you know, politicians, just because they have a new way to fund something doesn't mean they're going to shut down the old ways of funding those things. And I don't believe that the state education budget has come down at all since they put this lottery in. And in addition to that, there are other social costs of having any mode of gambling that's permitted. And it was pretty well established at the time this controversy raged in our state, which, by the way, bans lotteries by constitutional decree. It was revealed that every state that had tried it as a means of funding education was miserable about it and wished they hadn't, but of course the politicians had to save face by keeping it in place anyway. You know the politicians, don't you, Doctor?
No, of course. Well, these are great. These are actually fairly good comments. I'm not as offended as you might have suspected about this. First of all, there's no doubt in my mind that politicians of the socialist mindset and the welfare state are not going to cut other taxes when they install a new tax. This is an absolute truism. What I'm speaking about is theoretically, I would rather have them replace the extortion that goes on elsewhere. And the reason I say that is, I'm sure you'll agree, Nelson, you're not in favor of extortion any more than you are of illegal gambling or lotteries, for that matter, gambling in general. Extortion is also a sin against God, and as would be excessive kinds of gambling. Wouldn't you agree?
What type of extortion are you referring to, please?
Taxation.
But, like I say, taxation is basically unaffected when they put in a lottery.
Well, that's
including true. Extortion.
That's true, but replacing one, all taxation is extortion. I don't pay any taxes voluntarily. I pay it because I'm looking down the barrel of a gun. So that's a sin too. That's just as bad and as sinful as states monopolizing some lottery system. The reason I said I prefer lotteries over extortive taxation is because lotteries are voluntary. That is, people rush to pay the stupid tax. It's ridiculous that they do so, and it's immoral, and it's socially debilitating in some sense that people are addicted to gambling. I agree, but I'd still rather have those people pay the sin tax than me be extorted.
But you're going to be extorted anyway, so why go with the lottery?
Yeah, but this kind of pragmatic reasoning, it doesn't make any sense. Oh, I'm going to be extorted.
It's called real world reasoning, in my humble estimation, Doc.
Well, what I'm what I what I'm talking about is if we could actually stop, other taxation. That's what I said. If we could theoretically replace all other taxations with lotteries, I'd be happy to do it. That's what I'm saying.
That's like saying if we could only build a machine that would keep running without having any the need of any fuel or refortification that way, why we would have perpetual motion.
Yes.
Thanks, Doc.
Appreciate the call, Nelson. We like getting to see Nelson get all worked up on over these kinds of issues. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. It makes some sense to go ahead and continue with these sort of theoretical ideas simply because the founding fathers did so as well. Our country didn't begin because people thought it was a reality. They were almost shocked by what they could obtain by pursuing liberty, and that's what I'm after here when I'm thinking about the replacing of other taxes with the lottery. Now, I know it raises the chagrin of a lot of people because they just hate lotteries and gambling. It's against the South Carolina Constitution. It has social problems. You know, a lot of things cause social problems. In fact, the extortive nature of the welfare state causes plenty of social problems in and of itself. So, I am in favor of replacing all other taxes with lotteries, if it were possible. May not be possible, but if it were, that would be ideal as far as I'm concerned. Appreciate the call, Nelson. As always, like to have once in a while somebody disagree with the Tyranny Response Unit. Although it's tough to do, we realize, because I'm just so persuasive on most things. At any rate, I think we may be over time for a break, so I want to jump to a quick break here, and then we'll come back and read a couple other interesting stories. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with a government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Well, here's another article we have sent by the illustrious research staff by Henry Lamb of News with Views. I think this is the Hidden Republican. This is actually something he wrote a while back about some environmentalist nutcases down in, or I shouldn't be so unkind, some environmentally ignorant people who believe they know something about the environment. 3 years ago, the government of Collier County, Florida, approved a 3-year conditional permit for Jesse Hardy to begin the construction of an aquaculture project. The plan called for the excavation of 4 20-acre fish ponds on his 160-acre homestead about 30 miles east of Naples. The conditions placed on the permit were to ensure that the ponds were actually the size and depth shown in the plan, and that the project proceeded in an environmentally sensitive manner. A three-year progress review has been underway for several months. Skipping down a little bit here, the material excavated from this guy Jesse's pond has proven to be quite valuable road-building material. Collier County is one of Jesse's best customers. The county engineer says that Jesse's site is the only place in the entire county where the material can be purchased. Were it not for Jesse's excavation, the county would be forced to haul the material as much as 100 miles across the state. Since the permit was first issued, Jesse's land has become the target of rabid environmentalists, hell-bent on returning the Everglades to its natural condition. The massive $8 billion project has already forced thousands of landowners off of the property. Jesse doesn't want to leave. Engineering studies show that Jesse's land is not necessary to complete the project. What Jesse wants doesn't matter. Nancy Payton of the Florida Wildlife Federation says it's not a good location for people to be. And she goes on to talk about, the environmentalist argument. At any rate, the argument she gives rise to a much deeper question. The article goes on to say, how does the county or state acquire the power to override the inherent rights of an owner to use his property as he chooses? Well, because, folks, I hate to break it to you, but you don't really own your property, your real property, your land, your house, all that. You effectively rent it. You are a feudal serf sitting on the property. You have the privilege of using and possessing your property. But in reality, the state regulates it, tells you how it can be done, what can be done with it. If you don't pay the little fee to the feudal lord, to the lord paramount, to the liege lord, as it's been called in the past, they just take it away from you. I mean, you're renting from the state in the same way a feudal serf would rent. And they're very happy that you're there, because otherwise the land wouldn't be improved at all. But what a great deal. I mean, think about it. The state gets to essentially own all your land, and you improve it for them for free. You put in sweat every Saturday, and maybe more than that, to try to make your house better. You cut the grass, you plant the flower garden, all for somebody else. Now, sure, you get to enjoy it while you're renting there, but eventually the state wins in the long run because you're improving their property for them. I hope that's not too much of a revelation to you, but that's just the way things are here. Anyway, continuing on with this article. When the state secures the title to the land, will the state prevent the county from continuing to excavate that material that it badly needs, thereby forcing the county to haul its material several hundred extra miles? Or will the state effect an agreement with the counties that allows the county to continue using Jesse's material for several years before the Everglades project touches Jesse's land? Jesse is one of thousands of victims whose right to own and use private property has been eroded by the socialistic notion that central planning must prevail over individual freedom. In Jesse's case, there is no logical reason why he should not construct his fish ponds, selling the excavated material to the highest bidder. His nearest neighbor is 30 miles away, and his land is 30 miles from town. The use of his land as he chooses harms no one and helps many. Still, Nancy Payton and her fellows have convinced the county officials that Jesse's wishes and constitutional rights should be ignored in order to achieve what she thinks is the best value for Jesse's land. Well, it's nice that the socialist central planners are trying to take care of their property by helping people understand what they truly need to do with it, instead of what they think they need to do with it. The government always knows best. Big brother. It's a big brother kind of rule. We're not surprised by this sort of thing. Here's another quick article from We the People, July 4th, 2005. No! The U.S. Court of Appeals soundly rejects IRS plea to soften the ruling in Schultz versus the IRS. On January 29, 2005, we reported under the headline Dramatic Development that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit has issued a decision in Schultz versus IRS. The court held that taxpayers cannot be compelled by the IRS to turn over personal and private property to the IRS absent federal court order. Well, that's good news, isn't it? And we're glad to hear that the IRS is being handed another defeat. Although they're few and far between, as far as I'm concerned, it's nice to know when they actually are defeated on any particular issue. And this is one example of that. We want to remind you of a couple things before we go to the break, and we'll come back and read something maybe about estate taxes. First of all, our phone number, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. And the second thing is to go and sign the Fundamental Rights Petition. You go to petitiononline.com/scrog. That's capital, all caps, SCROG, 1, number 1. Scrog1. PetitionOnline.com/Scrog1. Sign the petition, takes less than 30 seconds, and show your support for private property and the inherent inalienable nature of our rights to life, liberty, and property. Why these things are so important. In fact, if you'll be looking for the Times Examiner next week, you're going to see I have another three-part series coming out on the meaning of rights as far as Christians go and the idea of just war a little bit. And I think you'll find it a very fascinating study for you to think about these very important issues about the philosophy of the Founding Fathers and why we have fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property, and why civilization really depends on it and peace depends on it, why peacemakers, that is Christians, must support these things and oppose violently, if necessary, those who would try to steal them away from us. At any rate, that's coming up in the Times Examiner and on the website beginning next week, so hope you stay tuned for that. Enjoy the last article this week on the Second Amendment as we talk about assassination when the paper comes out tomorrow. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
You know, I was just speaking with our illustrious production staff here in the studio, and I asked him if he could play the 7-minute, 21-second audio Liberty Minute, Why the Lottery of Voluntary and Stupid Man Tax is the Best Way to Finance Government. That'll be coming up after the break, so the next break will actually be a long break. You'll still be hearing me. It'll just be a recording of why the lottery, this voluntary and stupid man tax, is the best way to finance government. It'll be to Nelson's chagrin, the caller, and perhaps to others, but I think it'll be worth listening to. It'll at least help you think. Even at the end, you disagree with me for whatever reason. Why not think about something a little bit differently today? They'll be playing that immediately after the next break, so it will be a long break. At any rate, all of those audio files can be found on the Tyranny Response Network's website, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. We'd encourage you to have frequent visits to the place. Don't forget to sign the petition online I just mentioned earlier, petitiononline.com/scrog, S-C-R-O-G, the Fundamental Rights Petition, that's /S-C-R-O-G, #1. Petitiononline.com/SCROG.1. Please go there now and take 30 seconds and sign the Fundamental Rights Petition for South Carolina and help protect private property if possible, as well as get government back on track and understanding that life, liberty, and property are inalienable and antecedent to the work of the state and therefore cannot be encumbered or abridged by the state. Well, back again to this reading about the estate tax. Dr. Eric Schonsberg, who is a well-known Christian libertarian in the land, actually is a professor at the University of Indiana at New Albany near Louisville, He sent this thing, he thought it might be of interest to us, titled, You Can't Take It With You. It has been said that the only sure things in life are death and taxes. It seems that Democrats are fond of combining the two, especially for the wealthy and the working poor. Opposition from National Democrats to estate tax reductions is well established. Their political savvy, combined with a lack of political resolve by Senate Republicans, result in a bizarre set of changes to the federal estate tax in 2001. Under the reform, the estate tax will be reduced from 2002 to 2009 as exempted wealth increases dramatically from $1 million to $3.5 million per person, and the top marginal tax rates gradually decrease from 50 to 45%. Then the estate tax will be completely repealed in 2010 before reverting back in 2011 to the exempted amount wealth will be held at in 2002, and the top marginal tax rate held in 2001. Yes, it's really strange stuff. It's enough to make one wonder whether the war on drugs is being waged effectively within the halls of Congress. That's a good way to put it. Their problem's far worse than drugs, I'm afraid. It's just pure corruption, vileness, and filth. But beyond that, unfortunately, the article says, estate taxes are inefficient. Those looking to avoid estate taxes routinely spend tens of thousands of dollars for estate planning, legal accounting, and financial planning services to limit their exposure to the tax. That's my business, by the way, at the Integrity Group. This has become more absurd since 2001. The wealthy now need many different plans. Many deal with the nearly annual changes in the law, and one more to deal with the one year and perhaps future permanent repeal. Beyond that, there are legal and accounting costs of tax compliance at death. Note that these costs also extend to those who must merely convince the IRS they don't have to pay any estate tax. More than half of estate tax returns are filed to prove that there's no tax burden. In addition, there are a number of other important considerations that impinge on small business. Both planning and compliance are more complex and expensive for small businesses, and a number of small business owners buy taxable and expensive life insurance policies to cover future estate taxes, since estate taxes are based on assets but must be paid out of income. Of course, all of this still harms the economy in terms of job growth, productivity, standards of living, and so on, except that it gives financial planners like me an extra little benefit. Yes, indeed, the life insurance industry does not want the estate tax to go away, folks. If it did, a lot of people in the life insurance business would be affected dramatically. In fact, I think many whole life policies and other policies would not be sold because they're the perfect instrument for getting out of this estate tax problem. And people use it routinely who are wealthy. A lot of people think that whole life is just such a bad deal and no wealthy person would be stupid enough to buy it. Guess what, folks? The vast majority of whole life is bought by wealthy people, usually for estate tax purposes. At any rate, it is interesting the inefficiencies that are thrust upon us. I appreciate Eric Schonsberg pointing out to us just how bad these different kinds of tax schemes are. The closing argument in this article simply says, the Republicans are the party of social conservatives and the wealthy. Well, the latter part might be true, but the social conservatives part is pretty doubtful. And I think that I understand why Democrats proclaim themselves to be friends of the middle class. They enjoy taxing the wealthy and the working poor, and they enjoy promoting a complicated estate tax that increases the demand for the services of the middle-income and upper-middle-income lawyers, accountants, and financial planners. Only libertarians emerge as a serious proponents of reduced taxations, at least for small business, the poor, and the dead. And that's the end of the article. Well, I would also include the Constitution Party, and I don't know why they're not mentioned. I suppose they're being the fourth largest party. They just bumped off the list or something. But I think, of course, he's right in that Republicans and Democrats both are not in favor of true tax reform and true tax cuts, as those of us who would be on the libertarian or constitutional side would be. At any rate, interesting article of economic interest to us, and appreciate Eric Schonsberg sending that along. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Believe it or not, it's already time for us to take the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, let me give you the weather now, because we're going to have such a long break. The weather in the upstate, and then we're going to have our Liberty Minutes and so forth about the lottery. Remember the phone number if you want to call in, if you're itching to call in, 864, or maybe you will be itching to call in after you hear this lottery stuff, 244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. An email may be sent to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Greenville, Spartanburg, currently in the mid-70s. Going to be partly cloudy with patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour and the chance of rain 30%. Once again, you're listening to Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a few long minutes.
Now here's Dr. John Coben with today's edition of Liberty Minutes.
Have you ever thought about why the state lottery might be considered the best tax? This is Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. The state lottery is one of those things which divide men of goodwill on the political and social right. For instance, the platform of the Constitution Party says, "Gambling promotes an increase in crime, destruction of family values, and a decline in the moral fiber of our country. We are opposed to government sponsorship, involvement in, or promotion of gambling, such as lotteries or subsidization of Native American casinos in the name of economic development." Conversely, a state lottery policy is refreshing for many libertarians. Why would libertarians like the lottery? It has nothing to do with the morality of gambling, but it has everything to do with the nature and propriety of the tax. Yes, the lottery is a tax. The lottery funds functions of the civil government just like coercive taxes. The difference is that lotteries are voluntary, unlike any other significant tax source. In fact, enthusiastic and greedy people rush to play the lottery. I recently spoke to the South Carolina lottery director. He stated that during a recent $100 million Powerball game, sales exceeded 15,000 tickets per hour, a rate faster than the tickets can be printed. Can you think of any other tax that people rush to pay? By contrast, the state extorts money from people by taxing income, sales, gasoline, real property, luxury, and various sins, along with requiring licenses, permits, registration fees, and traffic fines, all of which go to the general budget of the state. Then the state doles out paltry welfare benefits, but receiving these benefits is nowhere near as exhilarating as having the television station's cameraman at your front door. Somehow, buying a pile of lottery tickets, albeit with a remote chance of winning, is much more fun than contributing 12.4% of your earnings for the Social Security program. The odds of winning the lottery are probably greater than a young man's chances of ever collecting Social Security. Let's face it, the state lottery is a stupid tax. Like other monopolized public enterprises, the lottery does not produce the high-quality, low-priced, innovative, and consumer-friendly product that would be offered in a free market. For instance, Las Vegas and Atlantic City casinos compete by advertising the highest payouts. For instance, slot machines paying 98.3% in one casino versus only 97.8% in others. And people flock to consume the services provided. The South Carolina lottery's payout is a measly 58%, rather meager compared to Las Vegas. Hence, one could make the case that playing the state lottery is a pursuit of fatuous or ignorant people. Of course, not all lottery players are dolts or idiots. For instance, my brother-in-law once stated that, as a Calvinist, he need buy only one lottery ticket. If God wants him to win the jackpot, only one ticket is required. Perhaps one could argue that the Calvinist lottery thesis provides a basis for a person buying five $1 lottery tickets per year. The opportunity cost imposed on the family from buying these tickets corresponds to ordering one medium pizza instead of one large one. Not much of a concern. I choose not to play the lottery, not so much out of scruples, but because I do not want to pay the stupid tax. Yet such choices should be left to the liberty of conscience of each individual. Now someone will argue that I am forgetting about the fact that gambling is a social evil and that it supports wicked institutions. I agree, at least in terms of excessive gambling. However, as far as my brother-in-law is concerned, I am not convinced that his $5 annual expense has any moral implications other than a pound or two less on his waistline from eating a little less pizza. I would also have to agree that the state is the wickedest institution in our world, and far worse than any mafia family in Atlantic City. But why should the lottery's moral ramifications block its support as a voluntary taxation scheme? The Bible says that the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, Proverbs 13:22, and he who is filthy, let him be filthy still, Revelation 22:11. I prefer that obtuse people scurry to pay a voluntary stupid tax any day versus having state organized crime units blitz me with extortionist policies. Somebody has to pay for the limited government we desire. Why not let the government be financed by voluntary taxes like lotteries? In fact, I am willing to go out on a limb and call for a general repeal of all income, sales, and real property taxes, replacing them with lotteries instead. That idea should at least catch the eye of the most zealous Constitution Party member, along with all libertarians. Even if gambling is considered sinful, why is extortion any better? Better to have some pay the stupid tax than to have nearly everyone suffer at the hand of the state extortionist. One last practical item regards the South Carolina Life Scholarship and Piedmont Fellows Scholarship programs that are financed by the lottery. These are educational grants that are financed 100% by voluntary taxes. The educational grants are a means of making voters happy, creating government jobs to boost the economy, and a means for the state to skim off a small portion of the spoils. Lottery administration costs are 12%, 30% of revenues fund scholarships, or slide into the state's coffers, and 58% are paid out in prizes. Thus, if you have no scruples about choosing to use public enterprises like the public libraries or state parks, then letting the ignorant fund your family's intellectual development should not be troublesome. A lottery-funded program is not morally repugnant like proactive redistributive welfare policy. In certain rare or unusual circumstances, lottery-funded scholarships pose a moral dilemma. When the number of students entitled to receive lottery money in a given year exceeds the lottery receipts available to fund their corresponding scholarships, the shortfall must be made up out of the state's general budget. So it would behoove a person to confirm that no such unusual circumstances exist prior to applying. Do you have college-bound kids wanting to attend school in South Carolina? Have little fear of gathering what sinners have voluntarily stored up for your family. And while you're at it, enthusiastically support state lottery policy, the great stupid tax. The sinners who indulge themselves in it will end up paying some of the expenses of government. One day we may be able to replace our extortive taxation system with a purely voluntary one utilizing lotteries. And this has been Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. To find out more about Liberty Minutes, please visit www.policyofliberty.net. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. In Federalist No. 62, James Madison said, "The propensity of all single and numerous assemblies is to yield to the impulse of sudden and violent passions, and to be seduced by factious leaders into intemperate and pernicious resolutions."
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've made us part of your morning today here on the Tyranny Response Network. I received an article on WorldNet Daily yesterday from Vox Day entitled, "What Independence? According to the Columbia professor being interviewed on National Public Radio this weekend, freedom is an amorphous concept that is primarily a state of mind. This would appear to be at significant odds with the principle of inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness envisioned by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, as well as the list of specific freedoms defined or delineated in the Bill of Rights. The right to life has been long under assault as the culture of death has successfully placed the aged, the helpless, and the unborn on the list of those defined as inhuman and therefore legal to kill. The last vestiges of the right to property have been eliminated, as in the recent Keller decision, makes all the property officially communal, held only at the seigneurial whim of the local council. The right to bear arms has been limited, too. While it has not yet been destroyed completely, it is obvious that an attack on it will soon be forthcoming. A White House spokesman, Scott McClellan's statement that Americans obviously have to respect the decisions of the Supreme Court are downright Tory-ish. After all, the founders of this country rejected the notion that they had to respect the decisions of the English Parliament and King George's ministers, where they had decided that they were going to be a free people. But considering that President Bush, as owner of the Major League Baseball's Texas Rangers, was beneficiary of the pre-Kellogg land seizure himself, what other position could his spokesman possibly take? As McClellan said, the president has made his views clear when it comes to private property rights. There's always an inherent conflict between government and freedom. Nearly every act of government, almost every law and regulation that is imposed from above is intended to limit freedom. What conservatives must understand is that it is not always possible to be a fine, upstanding, law-abiding citizen and be a free man at the same time. In fact, for most of human history, it has been impossible. The American revolutionaries were lawbreakers of the worst kind, and they were directly challenging those who were their rightful masters in the eyes of the law. And yet, even today, few would argue that their disobedience was both just and right. Well, there's actually more than you think, especially among Christians, who think wrongly that it was wrong for them to so-called disobey the evil state. The question of justice turns on the point of whether government on all levels has overstepped its lawful bounds. For if the laws of government have passed those limits, they are not law, but mere dictatorial assertions, with no more force than that which the government can muster. And while it is wise to obey under the threat of force, one has no moral obligation to do so. That's an important statement. While it is wise to obey under the threat of force, one has no moral obligation to do so. The government tells you to abort every child after one, tells you to force your kids to go to the public school, tells you not to spank your kids. You might comply, but there's no moral obligation to do so. I hope you won't comply with any of those things, but there's certainly no moral obligation, and there's no moral obligation for lesser things either, like if the government tells you you can't drive 70 in a 65. Mile an hour zone. Yes, I'm telling you, you can violate the speed limit if you want to. Big deal. It's not like you don't do it already anyway. But that's not an argument from pragmatism. It's just that speed limits are not a moral issue. Just because the state says something doesn't make it moral. As the recent history of Eastern Europe shows, once the people become aware of the threat of force is empty, they will begin to ignore both the government and its illegitimate laws with alacrity. It is impossible to know what the future holds for the United States, but one thing is sure, all governments fall in time. Ironically, governments that rely on force are more fragile than one and most tend to fall even faster. The merciless totalitarians of the Soviet Union lasted a mere 72 years, a historical blip when compared with the lifespan of the British monarchy, the Roman Empire, or even the neo-democratic oligarchy in the United States of America. The genius of America was its independence. As that independence has been systematically reduced over the years, so too has its competitive advantage over other less free nations declined. The best and brightest have been leaving the country for years, and the American brain drain is accelerating the internet has made possible to run the software company from the Bahamas, or an import-export operation from Ireland, where the taxes are lower and there's no danger of losing your home to a Walmart. In summary, this is not a day to celebrate. He's talking of yesterday, obviously, American independence. It is instead a day to mourn America's passing and pray for its eventual rebirth. Vox Day is a novelist and Christian libertarian, a member of the SFWA Mensa and the Southern Baptist Church, and has been down with Madden since 1992. He has a weblog, Vox Populi, for daily commentary and responses to reader email. Appreciate it. It's a young man. Certainly looks like a very young man. We appreciate having those kind of young men around. Those are the kinds of people that actually turn things in the right direction at some point. So good for you, Vox Day. You got to hit the nail right on the head this morning. Well, here's another somebody who may be hitting the nail right on the head. Now, just be prepared. This next article by John Kaminsky is a little bit radical. That is, some of you might really have to have had three cups of coffee before you hear it. It's a little bit tough. But on Christian Worldview, we're not afraid to read the tough stuff. We're willing to talk about some of these issues on here, and even though it's not politically correct to do so necessarily, even though you're not going to hear it on the Festival of Ignorance program and other particular radio shows, we're talking about something that could well be the truth. And here's a man, I'm jumping ahead a little bit in his article, he's talking about this guy Kaduri. He's recounting a scam that opens up a clear window to seeing who is perpetuating all this inexplicable violence in Iraq. Beyond the American attempt to pacify an outraged and abused nation through demonic destruction, and beyond the Iraqi attempt to resist its totalitarian takeover by a foreign conqueror, there are more than numerous acts of violence that simply can't be understood by straightforward explanations. Excuse me. I mean, when the mosque blows up and an American blames Islamic terrorists, whether Sunni or Shiite, it makes no sense. Muslims never blow up their own houses of worship. Or when reporters sympathetic to either the Iraqi cause of freedom or even just general principles of international justice are suddenly assassinated and the blame is placed on often imaginary Islamic extremists whose perspective is supported by these writers, how can anyone believe that Muslims did it? Even thought this was the Zionist American press and government continue to insist. So who's doing all these demented deeds, as if we didn't know? Kaduri's report went like this. A few days ago, an American man checkpoint confiscated the driver license of a driver and told him to report to an American military camp near Baghdad Airport for interrogation in order to retrieve this license. The next day, the driver did visit the camp, and he was allowed in the camp with his car. He was admitted to a room for interrogation that lasted half an hour. At the end of the session, the American interrogator told him, "Okay, there's nothing against you, but you know that Iraq is now sovereign and that is in charge of its own affairs. Hence, we have forwarded your papers and license to Al-Qadima police station for processing. Therefore, go there with this clearance to reclaim your license. At the police station, ask for Lieutenant Hassan Mohammed, who is waiting for you now. Go there quickly before he leaves his shift work." The driver did leave in a hurry, but was soon alarmed with a feeling that his car was driving as if carrying a heavy load. He also became suspicious of a low-flying helicopter that kept hovering overhead as if trailing him. He stopped the car and inspected it carefully. He found nearly 100 kilograms of explosives hidden in the back seat and along the two back doors. The only feasible explanation of this incident is that the car was indeed booby-trapped by the Americans and intended for the Al-Qadimiya Shiite district of Baghdad. The helicopter was monitoring its movement and witnessing the anticipated hideous attack by foreign elements. The same scenario was repeated in Mosul, in the north of Iraq. A car was confiscated along with the driver's license, and he did follow up with the matter and finally reclaimed his car, but was told to go to a police station to reclaim the license. Fortunately for him, the car broke down on the way to the police station. The inspecting car mechanic discovered the spare tire was fully laden with explosives. If this were the only example of this type I heard, I might have just let it pass as a story, but it wasn't. There was also the sorry tale of the Iraqi man who saw American soldiers plant a bomb, which shortly thereafter exploded. When he said so out loud for them to hear, he was hauled away, never to be seen again. The story was reported on arguably the most authentic and riveting source of news from Iraq, the heart-rending Baghdad Burning Girl blog from Iraq, which is compiled by someone known only as Riverbend or Iraqi Girl. Again, recommended reading, she recounts, the last 2 weeks have been violent. The number of explosions in Baghdad alone is frightening. There have also been several assassinations, bodies being found here and there. It is somewhat disturbing to know that corpses are turning up in the most unexpected places. Many people will tell you it's not wise to eat river fish anymore because they have been nourished on the human remains being dumped into the river. That thought alone has given me more than one sleepless night. It's also as if Baghdad has turned into a giant graveyard. Skipping down through the article, it said it happened in the morning. The shops were opening for their daily business, and it occurred right in front of the butcher shop. One of these explosions. Immediately after, we heard the man living in a house in front of the blast site was hauled off by the Americans because it was said that after the bomb went off, he sniped an Iraqi National Guardsman. I don't think much about the story. Nothing about it stood out as an explosion and a sniper, hardly an anomaly. The interesting news started circulating a couple days after. People in the area claimed that the man was taken away not because he shot anyone, but because he knew too much about the bomb. Rumor is it that he saw an American patrol passing through the area and pausing at the bomb site minutes before the explosion. Soon after they drove away, the bomb went off and the chaos ensued. He ran out of his house screaming to the neighbors and bystanders that the Americans had either planted the bomb or had seen the bomb and done nothing about it. He was promptly taken away. The bombs are mysterious. Some of them explode in the midst of National Guard and near American troops or Iraqi police, and others explode near mosques, churches, and shops, or in the middle of souks. One thing that surprises us about the news reports is that these bombs are inevitably linked to suicide bombers. The reality is that some of these bombs are not suicide bombs. They are car bombs that either being remotely detonated, maybe time bombs. All we know is that the techniques differ, and apparently so do the intentions. Some will tell you that they are resistant. Some say Chalabi and his thugs are responsible for a number of them. Others blame Iran and the SCIREI, Militia Bader. In any case, they're terrifying if you're close enough. This is fascinating stuff. You know, I think we want to come back after the break and read a little bit more of this, but we are just a little bit over for our break at Christian Worldview. I want to remind you of our phone numbers, 864-244-8177, if you'd like to comment on this or anything else in the show. 864-244-8177 or the backup line, 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Let me welcome you back to Christian Worldview for the last segment. I want to quickly tie up the rest of this article. It's just interesting alternative news source. And do we really believe that Americans are behind blowing up these bombs in Baghdad? Why wouldn't I believe that? The bigger question to ask, I suppose, more important question, or why wouldn't you? Are you trust your government so much that they would never do such bad things? Please. At any rate, on May 13th, 2005, a 64-year-old Iraqi farmer, Haj Haider Aboud, whatever, Sijad or something, took his tomato load in his pickup truck from Hilla to Baghdad, accompanied by Ali, his 11-year-old grandson. They were stopped at an American checkpoint where they asked to dismount. The American soldier climbed out the back of the pickup truck, followed by another a few minutes later, and thoroughly inspected the tomato-filled plastic containers for about 10 minutes. The Hajj Haider and his grandson then were allowed to proceed to Baghdad. A minute later, his grandson told him they saw one of the American soldiers putting a gray melon-sized object in the back of the tomato containers. The Hajj immediately slammed on the brakes and stopped the car on the side of the road at a relatively far distance from the tech checkpoint. He found a time bomb with a clock ticking tucked among the tomatoes. He immediately recognized it as he was an ex-army soldier. Panicking, he grabbed his grandson and ran away from the car. Then realizing that the car was his only means of work, he went back, took the bomb and carried it in fear. He threw it into a deep ditch by the side of the road that was dug by the Iraqi soldiers in preparation for war 2 years ago. Upon returning from Baghdad, he found that the bomb had indeed exploded, killing 3 sheep and injuring the shepherd in his head. He thanked God for giving him the courage to go back to remove the bomb and for the luck that the American soldiers did not notice his sudden stop at the distance and his getting rid of the bomb. They intended to explode in Baghdad and claim it was the work of the terrorists or insurgents who call themselves the resistance. I decided to expose them and asked your reporter to take me to Baghdad to tell you the story. They are to be exposed as they now want to sow strife in Iraq and taint the resistance after failing to defeat it militarily. Do not forget to mention my name. I fear nobody but God. I am a follower of Muqtada al-Sadir. The background and admission of guilt for such satanic shenanigans was clearly outlined by Frank Morales' piece in globalresearch.ca. The provocateur state is the CIA behind the Iraqi insurgents and global terrorism by Frank Morales. Clearly demonstrates how Donald Rumsfeld said he was going to do exactly these story episodes. And these are episodes show he actually did. Well, this is a fascinating article. I'll try to read just a couple more things here before the end of the show. I'm skipping down through the article a bit here, folks. Provoking this type of violence also further conceals the sinister genocide that the Israelis continue to perpetuate on the hapless Palestinians, which is exactly its point, as is the entire Iraq invasion and destruction, and as was the inside job mass murder on 9/11 in New York City. There is not now, nor ever was, an Arab terror threat. That was all invented by Rothschild, Rockefeller, Kissinger, Brzezinski, Bush, Cheney, Sharon, Zakheim, Pearl, Wolfowitz, Faith, Abrams, and Warren Buffett. These people are all traitors to not only their own countries, but to humanity in general, and should be slammed and RICO'd into Guantanamo immediately. And so should the government officials, media lackeys, and ordinary citizens who, by their complicity and or their ignorance, support them. The main point in understanding these deliberate provocations is to prevent peace, is to understand the American capitalist system, now hijacked by billionaires with no trace of conscience, thrives on war and profits from the misery of others. Well, we don't want to get too Marxian in our interpretation here, folks, but I think John Kaminsky has a good point, if indeed some of these allegations are true, that there are 4 or 5 witnesses who are claiming that Americans are planting bombs just to cause instability in a place. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that it's true, but I'd be happy to listen to people who have an opposing point of view to see if the cat really is indeed out of the bag. If you want to know more about John Kaminsky, you can find his articles at www.johnkaminsky, that's KAMINSKI.com, and he's a writer whose internet essays are often seen on hundreds of websites around the world. Should be interesting. If you visit johnkaminsky.com, tell me what you think on the next edition of Christian Worldview. Remember our phone number for next time, 864-244-8177. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. Visit there. Know about the events, related media, and audio files that we have. And don't forget, folks, to go and sign the South Carolina Petition for Fundamental Rights. That's been posted at petitiononline.com. And as soon as we get Rippin' Richie to update our website, it will be on tyrannyresponse.com. It's petitiononline.com/SCROG1. That's in all capital letters, SCROG1. petitiononline.com/SCROG1. Go there and vote now. It only takes you 30 seconds and show your support for the fundamental rights to property, life, and liberty here in this great nation of America. Until tomorrow, then, we wish you God's blessing and look forward to having you again for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.